to the end.
Welcome to episode 46 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Mark.
And who's this? Who's snuck in over here when we weren't looking?
Don't tell anyone.
Who is it?
It's me. It's Gemma.
Hello, Gemma.
Hi.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you all?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm ready to rock and or roll. Delete where applicable.
It's lovely to see you alive and well. Well, alive anyway. Yeah.
I'm hiding a catheter as we speak. Took a turn for the worse.
We started well, haven't we?
Yeah.
36 seconds in, brilliant.
Started, you mean to go on. It's going to be a good show this week, isn't it, chaps and chapesses?
Hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully.
We're going to be reviewing the latest film in the undying, never-ending X-Men franchise, X-Men Apocalypse. We're also going to be re-watching Freddy Got Fingered.
Thanks a lot.
Now, Gemma, I know that you're really, really pleased about this.
As punch.
Yeah, because I think when I announced it on the last episode, when you listen to the episode, you text Mark immediately after hearing me announce it, and I think your response was something along the lines of, no, 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 no. So you're a big fan, clearly.
Clearly. Yeah.
Let's see if opinions have changed.
Maybe, you know, maybe a
maybe
second
that
viewing.
Second watch, you see a bit of depth that you didn't see in the first watch. Some directorial movement, some camera shot.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, I didn't like Captain America Winter Soldier the first time I saw it.
So there you go.
After my second viewing, bloody love that
and
film.
And they're very similar.
And
they're
in many ways.
Yeah.
Many ways.
Stay tuned to find out.
Adam, what is our topic of discussion?
We're going to be talking about our top three robots in the cinema.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
And Mark, what year are we skipping back to?
1984.
1984.
I know. It's getting sad. I'm starting to get a bit emotional because I know it's only after this three more and then we're done.
Almost there.
But I'll enjoy it while it lasts.
Mm. It's the end of an era, quite literally.
It yes.
The 80s. But we've got a bit more 80s fun today, haven't we, with X-Men Apocalypse anyway.
And a brand new one-off game just for Gemma. That's pretty good. You come along and you get your own game show. These guys have been doing it for nearly 2 years and don't get their own game show.
Don't say that, nearly 2 years.
But I guess, you know, we do come up with a game show.
Yes.
We are technically our own game show.
Yeah.
I'll say come up with them.
Yeah. pay homage to existing properties, I think.
But one-offs are pretty rare on this show, one-off game shows.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Let's get started.
So let's kick things off with the topic. I set it last time, which was top three robots in movies. Now, usually we have a little discussion, was there any rules and stuff? It was literally pick a robot that you love in a film and hopefully three of them. I think there'll be a few.
Hopefully three.
Yeah. I only got two. Sorry.
I think there'll be a bit of crossover. I won't lie. There was a hell of a lot to choose from. You don't realise, do you, until you open that can of worms.
I basically just ruled everything in. I didn't differentiate between cyborg, android, anything.
No,
it was all in. Whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear. As you're the guest, Gemma, I want to hear your first pick, please.
Cool. All right, then, my first pick, I'm going Disney. Ooh. It's Wall-E.
Oh. Wall-E.
I know. Is it Wall-E or Wall-E or...
Wall-E.
It's Wall-E. Of all of us, to be a bit sort of... I don't know, passive on this. Ben surprised me. What's wrong with a Disney robot, Ben? What have you got against that?
Well, I haven't seen the film. I've no interest in seeing it at all, really. It just doesn't float my boat.
Well, thankfully, for this occasion, I have. And it's the reason it's my pick. So basically, I like it because it's about the first 45 minutes. It's all a silent film. And you just get the idea of what's going on through how he reacts to things. He collects trash over the years. And he brings out a bit of humanity.
It's brilliant.
And it's lovely.
I love the film. I love the design of Wall-E as
the
well.
The eyes.
Brilliant.
Just constantly looks sad. And
All the dialogue is told through his eyes.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic when
you're not selling this to Ben at all. You're putting him off even more.
See, as I say, I haven't seen this film, but it sounds to me like it's a film based on, you know, those council street sweeper lorries that go around, the little half robot, half car things that pick up all the disused McDonald's boxes. Is it a film about one of those?
Yeah, but in America.
Except there's no people.
Yeah.
Good.
Which, you know.
That's one in the plus column. Yeah.
Or ex-pedos that drive them.
Allegedly. Where's that come from?
You can't just throw out accusations like that.
And also, how do you become an ex-pedo?
This all stems from Disney. Hang on, wait. Let's just rewind.
Right, dial it back away from Mark's wild accusations. Why Wall-E?
But in short, it's brilliant. It's very Buster Keaton-esque. And it's a robot for the ages. There we go.
That's a good enough one to start with. I liked the film. I thought it was really good. The animation is flawless.
It really is.
Every time the sort of sand and stuff moves behind him, all the sort of smoke, it's up there with the sort of Sully on Monsters, Inc. I'm looking going, wow, that's incredible. But you're not going to sell it to Ben right now. Look at the emotion in the eyes.
Maybe if he sort of went postal and maybe ripped someone's head off, maybe.
Sounds pretty good.
There we go.
Ben's interested now.
Ben, what have you got?
I'm going to go with another animated one. I'm going with Motoko from Ghost in the Shell.
Ooh, nice.
Who is a cybernetic being, part of a crime-fighting force in Japan. She has sort of an existing memory that's put into a cybernetic shell. All of her body parts have been replaced with cybernetic robotic elements. But it's a very sort of soulful character, which is hard to say because, one, it's not a human character, nor is it an actual human. It's an animation. But on both levels, it manages to be a fully soulful, believably human character, despite being cybernetic. And Adam's looking at me and nodding, and I'm thinking he might have in his list as well.
No, it's a great choice, though.
Mm.
It's a fantastic choice from a universe that was devised around sort of cybernetic organisms and just, again, fantastic.
I'm really intrigued to see how well they translate that to live action with the Scarlett Johansson version.
We'll see.
Will it have that same level of soulfulness? And
The jury's out,
but
Hollywood have been getting a few things correct when they've done translations recently.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the Assassin's Creed trailer looks like that's going to be quite a good film with Fassbender.
Yeah.
It could be the first real fantastic video game-based film, so maybe they'll get this right.
You never can tell.
Or it could be another Aeon Flux.
Or Dragon Ball Evolution.
Sorry to drag it down.
We'll see.
I know, Flux, good Lord.
Did you hear that apparently they would... I don't know if this is true or not, but I read that with the Ghost in the Shell live-action film, they were trying a kind of digital blackface, but it was digital yellow face.
I heard this
because
too.
They wanted them to try and look kind of oriental.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
It's like another example of, what's it, quote-unquote whitewashing in Hollywood.
No.
Yeah. I heard about this as well.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I hope that's not true. There's no actual evidence of this.
Let's stay away from that, Hollywood. Come on, you don't. if you want people to appear oriental, hire Japanese,
hire
Chinese,
Japanese, Koreans,
Korean actors to portray them.
Yeah.
Adam, what's your first choice?
I'm basically going to go with what I like to call the adult Wall-E, which is Johnny Five.
Nice!
One of the best robots in history. I love his design. I love his character. And as a kid, I could not get enough of Short Circuit 1 and Short Circuit 2.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love... There's certain scenes, especially in Short Circuit 2 when he's going through New York... And he's just learning so much about the urban environments in the city.
Yeah.
And there's a brilliant scene where he ends up coming back with all spray painted and he's singing the song from the Los Locos gang. Oh, it's just absolutely brilliant. How could you not love Johnny Five?
I've got it here. It's in big writing, 1986. What a film. Steve Guttenberg as well. He's an absolute legend. Wow. But I love that film for the fact of We went to see Chappie, and I think they were trying too hard to be like Wall-E.
Yeah.
Wall-E, what am I about?
Johnny Five.
Trying to be like Short Circuit, and I think Short Circuit just had it. He owned it, even with the mohawk when he's been sprayed gold.
So good.
And then they got the mini ones in the second film, and I always wanted to try and be able to buy one of those, but
yeah,
they never
so
bought
I.
them out, and that frustrates the hell out of me.
Hey.
But that's one of the best things about that sort of bit where he starts welding the armor and the mohawk onto himself because he's going to chase those guys down. It's so good.
But the story's good. The fact he got struck by lightning is the whole reason that he can basically live a real life and have emotions.
I'm just looking at Ben's face as you said that.
No, it's not that. It's just I've thought of something. To continue a theme, isn't it in one of the Short Circuit films where they do brown face?
There's a white American guy who they
brown up to pretend that
and
he's Indian.
And he's the worst ever Indian accent. They was like, Johnny Brave? It's absolutely that. It's like that.
It is. It's awful.
What is it with robot films and racism? Why do they go hand in hand?
I like the fact that when I talked about giving Johnny Five emotions, Adam looked at Ben as if to say, let's stick him out in a thunderstorm and hope he gets struck by lightning. The next episode, he comes back full of emotion.
Full of love.
With Wall-E on DVD. Yeah. Like, I've got it now, guys. I just took the lightning strike.
I fully get the story. It's beautiful.
That's a great choice. Great choice to start there.
My next choice is a little bit more of a recent one. I've gone for the robot of Ava, seen in Ex Machina.
Oh, nice.
So good.
I would have put money on
that. I might as well have come in today with a massive neon sign going, Ava! she's flawless. Like, you talk about the design, and obviously, you know, with Short Circuit, it's a timeless design. Yeah. However, with Ava, I believe that it's a design that's perfect for sort of now, in this sort of modern age as well. You forget that she is a robot until you see the back of her and you've got wires and lights and all sorts of nonsense. It's the ultimate Turing test, in my opinion. And spoilers, it's disturbing, that film, especially at the end, you know. Mm-hmm. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, big time.
But yeah, just fascinating to watch it. Just very enigmatic.
I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. But it's the modern day version of how we see a robot. How we see them more human now. Yeah. Than...
There was a thing not long ago as well. This guy created this very lifelike robot, and he asked. I think a question was asked to the robot, saying, "Oh, are you going to kill us all?" And the robot turned around and said, "Yes, I shall kill all humans." Let's YouTube terrifying. It. It's the most frightening thing you'll ever see.
That's a bit worrying.
Yeah, I'm...
kill it with fire.
Lots of it.
Yeah,
I think the reason why it is kind of the right robot for now is because we've finally started to come out of the uncanny valley. So it's the old thing about the uncanny valley where if you try and make a computer program like a CGI version of a human or a robotic human that looks human, it gets into that point where it's obviously fake and then it's quite real but not real enough. You know it's not human, it's just kind of scary, weird. But now we're kind of coming out of the uncanny valley to the point where we can create things that do actually look real. To the point where there will come a point soon enough where you won't know whether something is a robot or not.
And then we're seeing that with the computer game technology that now exists. I mean, when you see some of the designs from, say, Uncharted 4 that's just come out.
Yeah.
The designs are unbelievable. They actually look like real people running around on screen, and it's just... Yeah. It's frightening.
Yeah, and the truth of that is now a lot of the adverts for games like that, what you'd used to see at the bottom, not actual gameplay, but that's not there anymore because it is. That's how real this shit looks now.
I'm just thinking of people saying, sorry, officer, I thought it was a robot. You know what I mean? Already, Charlie, it's not going to be good.
Well, you've got humans as well on Channel 4 as well, and that kind of exploits this perfectly. And the second season should be out soon, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Me too. Great show. Mm-hmm.
Ex Machina made my top 5 films of the year.
Me too.
It blew me away. It's great, so great choice.
Brilliant performance as well by the actress whose name I've momentarily forgotten.
Alicia Vikander.
That's the one.
Future Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm. And Oscar's dancing is...
sublime.
The best
Ben. I'm going to go with one that I believe to be a robot, an android, but the director of his movie says otherwise. I've gone with Roy Batty in Blade Runner, film that you know I absolutely adore, my favourite film of all time. Love Roy Batty, love Rutger Hauer's performance. In the book on which it's based, Philip K. Dick's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, the androids he's referring to are what we know as replicants from the film. He quite clearly states they are androids, they are robotic. In the film, however, Ridley Scott makes the point that they're bioengineered, so they're actually all flesh. There is no robotic elements in them. So as far as he's concerned, they are biological rather than robotic. But I'm ignoring him. I'm going to say he's based it on source material where it says quite clearly they're androids. So as far as I'm concerned, Roy Batty is an android. And the best one ever.
I'd have put my mortgage on you saying that choice. Yeah. And you allowed it, sod it.
Yeah, cheers.
It's a great choice.
Well, it's Mark's topic, so he's allowed it.
Can he veto them?
Half of the social media came with that one as well. Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, great choice.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything more about it because Christ, how many times have I talked about it?
What? No, you've already talked about Blade Runner.
If you go on to skiptotheend.co.uk and have a look at our section for all our various lists that we've done, you will see that I have used a Blade Runner thing on at least 7 of them, I would say.
Most of the lists.
Yeah, and just go and look at the website anyway because it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's all right. Yeah, it's not too bad.
Your choice, Adam.
So I'm going to go with... I'm going to give you the name and see if you guys know it. Crimson Typhoon.
That sounds like something Gemma would know more about than Islam.
Oh, God. I don't know. Real Steel.
It's the three-armed Jaeger from Pacific Rim.
Nice.
Oh. I thought it was bizarre.
With the buzz saws on it. Now, this is the one Jaeger from that. All the Jaegers are quite memorable. This is the one that stood above all the others for me. Mm-hmm. Just because of how cool it looked and its sort of fighting stances and everything it did and those sort of like buzz saws that came out of its hands as well. I just thought it was such a cool design. Mm-hmm. So I actually researched it at the time. I actually found one of the big art books they did for Pacific Rim and started reading through it. Amazing. So the concepts were fantastic. And in there it mentioned that they apparently based the body language during its fights on Floyd Mayweather Jr.
That's insane. Literally,
that's how much thought and design went into this robot.
Did the Jaegers at any point just sort of randomly abuse women?
No.
That's weird.
Counting money into them.
I think they only took the good stuff. It'd be weird if they took the bad stuff. Yeah. But no, it's a really cool design. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Piloted by the three guys. And it's such a cool robot. And I was like, when I was researching and looking through, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to put this guy in. Mm. It's such an awesome robot.
Mm-hmm. Del Toro knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I love that film in that he's gone, am I good at designing monsters? Yeah, I am. Here we go. Am I also good at designing robots? Yeah, I am. Here you go. He's done them both in one film. I can do it all. I can do it all, lads. Here you go.
I love the film in general. I love the fact that they had competitions and things like that running in the office to see who could design the coolest robots.
Yeah.
And then they'd put them into like votes in the office and one of them would get in the film. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. When you've got that many creative people all feeding into something, sometimes it's like too many cooks. Sometimes it's just the perfect balance.
Yeah. I imagine it to be like all previous Blue Peter winners, like popping a name in a hat. Like ultimate Blue Peter winner showdown.
Imagine that. If you didn't just get a shitty badge, you got a monster in fucking Del Toro films, I'd be sending my designs in as well.
Right, my choice is going to be Evil Bill and Ted from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
What? Ah, the evil robot usses.
Did not see that coming.
Because Ben's been talking about Bill and Ted for the last couple of weeks on various parts of the podcast. I watched them this week and I was like, oh, I'm so having them. But the fact is that Keanu Reeves is having so much fun playing this character and we never really see him having much fun or smiling or acting. Which leads me to my other choice as Keanu Reeves.
The best robot
he's ever been in. But no, in Bill and Ted, they're fantastic. And I got here the line, which I think is one of the greatest lines in film history. I've got a full-on robot chubby, which is just incredible. But I just love the fact that they're like out to kill their original selves. And the way that they are, I just think they're so much fun.
Yeah.
And I just love watching it again. And I was like, I'm having those two for this reason. And I hope that you'll both let me have those two as one choice.
Yes.
No, that's your two.
I'm done then.
He's vetoing it.
I love the way they move. Because I don't know if it's a lack of budget or they just didn't give a shit, but they're clearly just humans in badly made suits, aren't they? And they move like humans doing the robot dance rather than actually being robots.
I just love that film, and it's just been so good to go back and watch them again. I forgot how great they were, so that's my second.
Third one coming soon, theoretically.
Ben just made another good point about like how the evolution of robots has happened, because when robots are being put in films, like RoboCop is the prime example and how he moves. He moves very kind of static and his joints don't really flow. But now we see them; their joints flow quite
fluid.
Like humans do. Yeah. And it's just like when you think about the old robot films and how they used to come slowly towards people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like lurching. A pop and lock competition.
Literally all based off the robot dance.
Final choice for you, Gemma.
I had a bit of fun with this one.
Oh.
I've gone for the Fembots in Austin Powers.
Nice. They're hot.
Nice.
It's so much fun. They're hilarious. And I mean, they got like nipple like five guns and like they can crack like people's necks with their thighs. They're absolutely beautiful, but they're possibly the deadliest weapon known to a 1960s sexaholic, really.
Except Austin himself.
Of
you know,
course.
They can't handle his mojo.
The weirdest thing there is when you say they could snap a man's neck with their thighs, all three of me, Mark and Adam, all just silently sort of nodded. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they could.
That's the way I want to go.
They're hilarious. They're so much fun, and it's something a little bit different to what I thought was like the stereotypical robot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you couldn't tell whether they were robots or not until obviously the bullets came out.
I didn't even think of them. That's a great choice.
Thank you.
That's what happens when you have such a vast topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah. So I just thought it's fun. It's original. It's just something with a bit of a laugh, and it's obviously from a very funny film as well. So yeah.
Very cool.
My final pick is The Gunslinger from Westworld.
I've got that as well.
Yeah. It was one
Yul
of the
Brenner, man.
It was one of yeah, Yul Brenner. It was one of the first rewatches we ever did when we brought that feature in, wasn't it? I think it was maybe the second or third one we did. And I don't think you'd seen it, had you, Mark?
I'd seen bits of it, but I hadn't watched the whole thing in like a good and actually concentrated on it.
And I know we all enjoyed it when we watched it. It's one that I've loved for years. It's one of my mum's favourite films as well. And he is just so good in that as you know, he's a cowboy, and cowboys are just cool as hell, especially cowboy gunslingers. But the fact that he was a robot as well on top of that, he was just cool as hell to me. Was then, is now. And I'm still, and you know, the TV version of this is coming out quite soon. Which I'm very much looking forward to see how that
is
translates.
Jonathan Nolan that's doing it.
Yeah, it's Jonathan Nolan that's doing
JJ's
it.
JJ's involved, of course, in some way or another.
It should be good, man.
Yeah. And I'm forgetting the name of the guy who's playing the gunslinger. Who was the guy who controlled everything in the Jim Carrey film where he was stuck
Ed
in?
Ed Harris?
Yes, Ed Harris. I'm pretty sure it's Ed Harris who's playing the gunslinger. Now, I don't know if he'll necessarily be any good or if they've just hired him because he's bald. we will find out eventually.
Imagine that. Like, we've got some really good people. They've put in some really good performances, really good auditions. Mm-hmm. Are they bold? No.
Boldest?
I'm afraid, no. We can't go. Well, they could shade that now.
When will this problem end, really?
Well, you'd know a lot about it.
Heavy advocate.
I like how much you summed up your reason for it. Mine was Westworld, Gunslinger, it doesn't ever get cooler than this. That was all I needed to say because it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think I've never seen, is it Future World, the follow-up? Mm. And everyone says avoid it, like just don't bother, it's turd. And I might never do it, so it never taints my love for Westworld because that was one of my favourite rewatches to date.
So good.
Oh,
superb.
Good mm-hmm. So good. I think that the last choice, it has to be Bishop. We've spoken about aliens, God knows how many times now, but Bishop is one of the coolest androids I've ever seen on screen. From his sort of momentary introduction where he's kind of doing the knife over his hand and it's all right up until all the support he offers Ripley, the intense dislike between him and Ripley as well, that obviously ends up kind of petering out and becoming quite a nice friendship before, of course, he gets, spoilers, ripped apart by the alien queen. to date, what is still one of the goriest things I've seen as a kid.
Yeah.
Just when he gets ripped in half. But it's just such a cool character.
Mm.
Bishop was, I guess, really a key figure in that film. I just love the dude, man.
Yeah, yeah. There's a good tradition of androids in the Alien films. Like, I love the one that Fassbender plays in Prometheus.
Yeah,
David.
Yeah, David's great.
David's great.
Very good.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a good world. It's a shame that they kind of ruined Bishop slightly by having him in Alien versus Predator, but...
This is why we need to film this podcast.
Sadness has fallen upon Adam.
I can't talk.
Should we go to social media to try and cheer you
Please
up?
Do.
Jenny Beth on Twitter has said Marvin in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah.
Bishop's from Aliens and Roy Batty in Blade Runner. Tracy Morgan has put TikTok from Return of the Oz.
Return to Oz, yeah.
Johnny Five and the little guys from Batteries Not Included.
The little guys.
I don't actually know what they're called, but they're awesome. Like little sort of cut. Yeah. Weird. I don't know what they are. At M Rex Podcast, T-8000, Optimus Prime, and BB-8. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Take Podcast, The Iron Giant, Wall-E, and Dot Matrix from Spaceballs. Reacted, which is at I-11 USIVE
Stick with it.
ED-209 from RoboCop.
Yeah, 209's
badass.
Awesome.
Badass. T-1000 and Max from Flight the Navigator.
Ah.
And a couple from Facebook. Cat Finch, Chappie, Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet and T-1000. And finally, Sarah Jane's Thomas with Iron Giant, Wall-E and Baymax.
Cool. Baymax.
Oh, Baymax is awesome.
Do you want to swap it for Bishop?
No. There's a lot of top five Baymax.
Yeah. There's a lot of love, like T-1000 on the
social. A lot.
Regarding Iron Giant, my boyfriend actually has a large Iron Giant tattoo rising out of the sea on his arm.
Nice.
And it is badass with green eyes.
I'm so glad you said tattoo because like, he's got such a large Iron Giant.
I was like, okay, whatever you want to call it.
There's a direction to this.
Oh, you two are two of my choices.
Sorry.
In all fairness, I should have known when I chose Johnny Five as an 80s robot. There was a good chance he was going to be in your list. Mm.
I didn't think you'd have the Gunslinger, though. I knew you liked that film, but I didn't know you'd be in your top three.
I was surprised that you didn't have like BB-8 or something like that. I think it's too soon.
Yeah, I'll wait a few years and I'll have George Lucas it and put it as one of my choices in sort of episode 81.
If it turns out that in the next Star Wars film, BB-8 has little like thruster jets on his arse and he can fly around, then he's dead to me.
Whose topic is it next?
It's mine.
Ooh.
So I put a bit of thought into this topic, as we all did. There's a lot to think about. And I wanted something, again, that provided you with an equal amount of thought next time. So Gemma, do send in your thoughts on this as well.
Done.
I want your top three game changers.
Okay.
In films. So films that literally changed a genre or changed everything.
That's a good topic.
About cinema. Like whether it was a new technology, a new shot, a new whatever it was.
Yeah.
Film that changed the game.
Wow.
That's a game changer itself.
That is a game changer.
Can we have a month to think about it? That's incredible.
That is very cool. I like that a lot. We've been to our local View Cinema to see X-Men Apocalypse, the latest film in the long-running X-Men franchise. This particular film takes place approximately 10 years after the events of Days of Future Past. And in this one, all of our various characters are split around the world. You've got Mystique, she's out in Berlin trying to save mutants who are being hounded. You've got Xavier, who is running his school with a new crop of young mutants. You've got Magneto, he's living in Poland, he started a new life, and everyone's just getting on with their business. But then ancient god/mutant original Ensabaneur, aka Apocalypse, is wakened from his long slumber and decides to level the world effectively so he can build a better one, as he says. And that's essentially the film in a nutshell. So it's what happens with all the X-Men. They get together to take on Apocalypse. Have I got that right, guys?
That's nicely
done. Actually better than I could do.
Perfect. In under a minute.
I like how you called him Mutant Original.
It was some sort of Original.
Fashion chic that was going on.
Oh, that's so mutant.
It's so hot right now. Mutant Original.
Brilliant start. I love that. Well done. Yeah. On to the film.
Yeah, let's get going then. I'm going to throw it out to Adam. Whenever we watch a comic book movie, I generally throw it to Adam, who is, along with myself, our resident comic book fan. So I like to know Adam's thoughts. First of all,
distinctly average.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were great parts of the film that could easily be removed and the film would still flow.
Yeah.
I didn't see a point to a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this would serve a lot better over the course of two films.
So what do you mean by that? Do you mean building up Apocalypse before it comes to a head?
I think they should have built up Apocalypse in the, because Apocalypse is essentially the biggest villain the X-Men face.
In that universe,
That universe. So I don't understand why they've not paid him service. They've just kind of gone, oh, look at how powerful he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, this person's more powerful than he is. Yeah, but we don't see enough of him.
Yeah.
Apocalypse is supposed to be the big bad, and they've just not done him a service.
We'll come back to that, certainly, because I'm on board with you on that. Gemma, what were your instant thoughts?
X-Meh. kind of going to echo what Adam said. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. But I think if you compare with what's been released the past 12 months, so you've had Guardians of the Galaxy, you've had, to some extent, some people, Deadpool.
Fantastic Four.
Civil War.
Civil War, yeah. But you also have films that are coming up that are coming up to some great pomps. So things like Suicide Squad, you've got Thor coming out next year, Doctor Strange, the end of the year. I feel like X-Men is more at the back of the queue as to what's been out recently and what is coming out. Average.
So you're saying, when you say back of the queue, it's the one that is least exciting to you, the one you care about.
Yeah,
least.
Yeah. I would say that. I think there's such a strong, there's a strong amount of films at the moment regarding superheroes that are coming out, or, you know, that have been out. But for me, it's not as important as what's already been out.
It's mid-table. Mark, massively. Thoughts?
I liked it. Not in the way that I'm going to annoy everyone in the Deadpool 9 out of 10.
But I
did mess up by going online and seeing magazines like Empire, Top Film, all giving it 1-2 stars.
Yeah.
My expectations were, these people, I don't know. But they were giving it all really low, really, really low scores. So I went in there with really low expectations, and I really enjoyed it for just turning my brain off and having a good time at the cinema. I thought some of the CGI was fantastic. I'm so glad it's in Brian's hands again instead of anyone else. I think he should always do X-Men films.
I like how you're on first name names.
Oh,
first
me and
Brian. Brian Singer.
I wanted to say Bri, because that's what me. All right, Bri, how's it going? But I don't want to, you know.
Beasting.
And I just think it was really well done. I don't know any of the source material, comics or anything like this, or the TV series I've never watched, so I wasn't in the way of this wasn't done right, this character wasn't done right. And I thought that was a good 2 hours in the cinema. I enjoyed it.
2.5 hours, mate. 2.5 hours.
Was it that long? Oh. It was not as bad as what people are saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. It's not as bad as people are saying, but I'm
really curious to actually hear what Ben's going to say, because Ben, you've been twice.
I have now seen it twice, because I went with you guys to review it for the film, and then I went to see it with my little brother a couple of days later. He gave it 8 out of 10, by the way. He wanted us to all be aware of that. He liked it. I'm very much on board with what you said, Adam. It didn't feel grand enough to me. Apocalypse is the biggest villain in that particular universe, and he just felt like some guy. He's supposed to be this dominant force, this godlike creature, and he didn't. He just felt like a weird man.
Mm-hmm. Weird exactly man with what my notes say here.
Yeah, he was just a weird man with some decent powers. And the thing that pissed me off, actually, which I thought was a fraud, in the trailer, there's a piece in the trailer where you see him grow in size, and you think this is one of his powers, that he can become bigger than a man, that he's like a giant. Turns out that doesn't actually happen. That's in his mind. There's like a sequence where Professor X and Apocalypse fight in each other's minds. So he doesn't actually grow big in real life, you know, with speech marks over it. That was just in a mind sequence. So I thought that was a cheat. It made him seem more powerful. He was just a weird dude. And he came and went with no threat. And I love Oscar Isaac. I've talked many times on this show how a bigger fan of him I am. But I think he was hamstrung. There was nothing he could do with that particular character or that particular script. They made no effort to make him seem powerful or interesting at all.
I think they designed these big scenes like, again, these are going to be filled with spoilers, these reviews. You guys know that by now. But towards the end of the film, there's a bit where he's basically above sort of Cairo in Egypt, and he's building this gigantic pyramid.
Yeah.
And they tried to fill the film with these grand scenes of him to make him seem like this big, big bad, this great villain.
Yeah.
When in actuality, all it did was kind of emphasize the fact of how much of a disservice they're doing to him.
Yeah.
For the comic book fan, and this was one of the films that I was quite excited for, because Bryan Singer has done a great job with the X-Men franchise when he's been involved. He has generally done things very correctly, but this was wrong. I think had they done this in two films, and I can't imagine the studio would be upset with two films on this, if he turned around to him and said, look, we've made loads of money on this, I want two films for Apocalypse, I can't imagine they'd turn that down.
You know what, that would have been good, because at least that way we may have got to know Angel, Psylocke and Storm a little bit better.
Exactly.
Three of his four horsemen, we find out nothing about them. They had about maybe four lines between them.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. It does a disservice to those guys, because Psylocke is a character that is very familiar to X-Men fans. Mm-hmm. She's one of the ones that most people kind of love. She's got an endearing fan base, and she was nothing.
And a sexy outfit to that.
Hell yeah.
And Angel's another one. It's like, we see him twice and he gets basically bodied both times. Mm-hmm. He gets beaten by Kurt Wagner in the cage because he gets his wing clipped. and then he gets beaten again later on. It's, yeah. He's literally one of the most useless people you've ever seen.
He can go back to EastEnders now. that's where they found that lad, isn't it? That's all he's been in otherwise, EastEnders.
He'll be back.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if he had more time and then they realised, oh, actually, he can't act.
Maybe.
Let's cut his lines down. He had a nice facial tattoo, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he loved that.
Yeah.
He loved all that, yeah.
But I'm really disappointed with it.
Yeah.
I think it's average. I don't think it's as bad as people are saying it is. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But I just think they've done a complete disservice to Apocalypse. And it's one of the things that just kind of, it's always going to, you're always going to feel a bit angry about. Mm-hmm.
I also feel they did a colossal disservice to Magneto. Yeah. Magneto is, in my opinion, alongside Wolverine, the most interesting character in the X-Men universe. And he has always been a dominant leading figure in all of the films. And in this one, he is relegated to the sidekick. He is Apocalypse's damn near mute sidekick, who has almost no lines, very little agency of his own, has a bit of a hissy fit because his wife and daughter get killed, becomes a baddie, then becomes a goodie again. Like, he loves a flip-flop, that fella. He did nothing for me in this
film. He's Big Show, isn't he?
He is Big Show. He's always turning. Every 2 minutes, heel face. I don't know why they've done that to him. They've absolutely buried him, to use more wrestling parlance. They've buried him in that film.
And sometimes you wouldn't be angry about that if you were sitting there thinking, okay, the actor that plays him isn't that good. But it's not. It's Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender is playing Magneto, and they're relegating him to a sidekick slash hardly giving him any story at all to work with.
Oscar nominee, Michael Fassbender.
Exactly.
I think you made a good point there. Like, with Apocalypse not being the ultimate baddie, which you really kind of wanted to see, you didn't have to have Oscar Isaac in that suit. It could have been anyone, because I didn't really at any point go, oh, that's Oscar Isaac. You know, because normally he leaves his stamp on a film and you go, that was awesome. I liked the film. There was a lot I really enjoyed, and I thought some of the action scenes were great. The direction at times was brilliant, stuff like that. But Oscar Isaac, now you've mentioned it, like, I keep forgetting that's him in the suit, and that shouldn't be happening with a performance from one of the best actors in the last couple of years.
What, just speaking of Oscar Isaac, what is the thing that you said to me in the car on the way back from the cinema about his voice?
So, I'm watching the film, and I was just, I couldn't, you know, when his entrance comes in, he's got that big hood up, and he's walking into the sort of market and looking for people. I just thought to myself, he's going to turn around in a minute and say, hello, Dave. His voice was literally, do you want to buy some pegs? And I kept sitting there thinking, once I heard it, I couldn't get it out of my head. So he was like, I'll kill you. I was like...
It's funny, well, because the thing, because you're talking about Papa Lazarou from League of Gentlemen. And one of the famous lines that Papa Lazarou says is, you're my wife now. And one of Apocalypse's last lines is, you're mine now.
You cost your conjoiners. And at that moment, I couldn't really take him seriously anymore. But when I did sit back and watch, I wasn't even remembering that was Oscar Isaac. And I think you could have put anyone in that suit, painted them up, blue face.
Yeah.
And you could have literally... It's an episode of Yellow Face. We've had Black Face. Let's have Blue Face. Come on. You could have had anyone in that suit and it would have, you know, it would have been... Well, no different.
The X-Men fans are just happy it's not Purple Face.
That's true.
That was,
because they've changed the tint, haven't they? The original pictures that were released of him, he looked bright purple. Mm. And they've managed to change the tint or the filters or whatever to make him just grey, essentially.
Grey, dark blue sort of colour.
I liked his death, though, that he would... The way that he could then, like, turn people to sand, that one seemed quite gory. Creepy, and when you talked earlier about that guy...
So how was he beaten?
Yeah.
He can literally do that and turn people into sand.
Yeah. Sansa had a little scream in a paddy. Done. Well, called it a day.
And this was one of my major issues with the film. It was a constant nod to things that have already happened that we've seen in the future from the other films. It's like, oh yeah, she's Phoenix, you know, Dark Phoenix. That's her. That's Dark Phoenix. That's Jean Grey. You know, she's got the Phoenix Force, right? That's her.
Did you say Dark Phoenix or Dark Fruits?
Dark Fruits, sorry.
All right,
it's constantly a nod to that. And when they come out of the cinema in one of the just the cutaway scenes, and they go, oh yeah, the third one's always the worst one.
I hate that. I can't stand cheesy meta in-jokes.
The whole film was just, it just seemed to be a nod to whatever they want to do later. I mean, Bryan Singer's already said, hasn't he, apparently he wants to redo the Dark Phoenix saga. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, this is him trying to get that now.
Yeah, I mean, I can get him wanting to do it because Brett Ratner shit the bed with it.
Well, yeah.
So that's why he wants to have a go at it. One of the things you mentioned there, Mark, is you said that the CGI was quite good. And I agree with you to a point, but I think the green screen work was atrocious, especially when characters were in flight. So any point where Storm was in midair or Magneto was in midair, at no point did they really look like they were flying through the sky. And I don't know if it was because the green screen was bad or there wasn't enough wind around them to make it seem like they were in atmosphere. atmospheric conditions. They look like people on a rope in front of a screen. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you compare that to something like Batman versus Superman, you know that scene where there are people in a flood and they're on top of a house waiting for Superman to come and save them, and he flies down from the sky, and you look at that, and he really looks like there is a man flying in the sky. It's brilliantly done. It looks real. Whereas this didn't. It looked cheap and tacky. It, at no point did I think Magneto was in midair. It was just a bloke on a string in front of a screen. And maybe it's because Bryan Singer isn't as good a visual director as Zack Snyder. I don't know. But it just looks shit to me. Really poor.
You'd think they'd kind of make it a priority for a character, say, like Storm. Mm-hmm. He does fly around a lot as well. Yeah. So
that's it. Storm, Angel, Magneto, you'd think they'd make sure that everything was on point for that.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
When Magneto, was it Magneto who saw his wife and child die?
Yep.
Yeah.
At that point, there was a bit where he used the force of helping birds come to save and kind of help.
It was his daughter.
Yeah. I turned around to Ben and just went, Birdemic. Because all these birds were attacking, and that was bad CGI. That bit was bad. And I was literally like, that's Birdemic.
It'd be amazing if they just used like one of the birds from Birdemic. It's just superimposed over one of the guards just flapping.
A nod to a classic.
Yeah.
But that became, you know, when we saw the use the necklace to kill them all in one go, that was violent. I liked that. I really enjoyed that. That was strong, powerful deaths.
What do you think about Wolverine? Wolverine pops up for one scene when some of the guys are kidnapped and taken to the kind of Weapon X facility, and then Jean Grey and some of the other guys manage to release Wolverine. He runs through and kills a load of people. What do we think to that scene?
It was a good scene, but the bit about releasing him to the world. Has anyone ever watched Father Ted?
Many times.
Yeah. And you know when... when they let him go, no, let him go. And that's exactly what I thought when she let him go, giving him a memory. But yeah, Father Ted.
I absolutely hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I just didn't see a point to it. It was only there to set up the post-credit scene. You could literally remove that entire kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just send them to Cairo, and that film would just flow exactly the same way.
You're absolutely right.
It was 20 minutes of film that was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought of that, but if you were to cut that whole sequence out, nothing would be lost.
It was literally just to show Hugh Jackman and set up the post-credits scene.
And the bit I didn't like about it the most, because it weirded me out, there's a bit where young Jean Grey, played by Sansa Stark, which is her real name, obviously, that's the one, she is giving Wolverine, she's got her hands on his head and she's giving him some of his memories back, and he's sort of looking at her longingly. Now, we know from the other films and from the books and whatnot that Wolverine and Jean Grey have, like, you know, love between them. But this Jean Grey is meant to be about 14. So that was just really uncomfortable to me. You know, he wasn't trying it on with her or anything, but that's my instant thought, is this a woman he's in love with. Yeah. And it's like, she's a child.
I was talking to a friend of mine on Friday night about it, and he said the exact same thing. It was just a bit weird because he was looking at her like he loved her, and she's supposed to be about 13, 14.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's even weirder in America because their age of consent is 18.
I like how you've done your research. he's just come back from Dallas, isn't he?
So, you know.
That's Dallas.
I tell you what did annoy me about the film, and this is me being a comic book geek. This is not me as a film reviewer, it's a comic book geek thing. Cyclops. Cyclops' power, his optical blasts, are concussive blasts. They are like being hit by force. That is what his power is. It is not, I repeat, not heat vision. So why the fuck, when he used his blast, did a tree set on fire? Because it's not heat vision.
It's his favourite tree as well.
It was Xavier's favourite tree, and he set it on fire.
This is another thing. It shouldn't have torn the tree apart.
It would have just blown it apart. Yeah.
Or blown it apart.
Yeah. All the grass was split, wasn't it? Everything was perfect, like a big heat.
And it was inconsistent because there were other parts of the film where it was conclusive blast, where it just broke things, and then there was that scene where it set stuff on fire. It's like, one, it should never set stuff on fire because it's not heat vision, and two, if you are going to give it heat vision, at least be internally consistent. Don't change the power midway through the damn film. So that annoyed me as a nerd.
Same. I was the same. Now, Days of Futures Past obviously had Quicksilver, kind of the shining star of it.
Mm.
How do we feel about him here?
Loved him.
I really loved him.
He is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Love the guy who plays him. Can't remember his
name. Evan Peters.
But he's been fantastic in this role. They kind of did an extended version of the Days of Future Past where he's running through the halls of the mansion as it's blowing up. I thought all of that was absolutely brilliant.
Best scene in the film.
I agree completely. Yeah. Completely.
I wanted more of it because it was still quite a long scene. Yeah. It was about 6 minutes because there's a whole song playing.
Yeah, it wasn't the radio edit either. No. That was an album release, that was.
But I loved his kind of... He had that... it wasn't arrogance. It was just nice little, like, you just like do a little selfie or you do something quite cocky. And I loved it. Yeah. And that whole scene was awesome.
And the funny thing is, when we saw the first trailer that featured a bit of that, I remember specifically me and you, Mark, being like, that looks shit.
Oh, because the...
Yeah, the running through. We were like, this
looks
terrible.
When you actually see it, you're like,
it was good.
It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And he's brilliant. And I'm glad that he is now officially part of the X-Men team. So whatever film comes next, presumably set in the 90s, he will be part of that team.
I love the bit of him versus Apocalypse as well, where he's just speeding around and punching him.
Yeah.
And then Apocalypse just kind of made his eye pupils dilate and he just does whatever he wants.
Breaks his leg.
Yeah, that was nice.
So, there's with Nightcrawler for me, so I don't know a lot of the characters, but I've seen Nightcrawler a lot.
Yeah.
I don't like this guy that plays him.
Cody Smith McPhee.
I'm not buying into it. So I'm happy for people to say he's great.
Him.
But I can't stop looking at him thinking he looks like a member of the Lost Prophets. Or... And that's not
Panic
saying that's not even that's not even
yeah.
that's what I mean. Yeah. It's not even saying that he's.
It's kind of that's Ian, Kurt Wagner though.
I didn't like it. He's too sort of emo-y, annoying. I just didn't want him on screen. He was irritating me a lot.
I think the problem is that they don't really develop Nightcrawler a lot in the films they've shown him. Kurt Wagner is a very religious man who doesn't understand why God's basically made him look like the devil.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so kind of dark. And
I like his jacket. That was pretty cool. But I just don't like the actor.
Yeah.
I'm not buying into him.
Yeah, he was good in Slow West,
which Mark hasn't seen.
But
so
he didn't
know.
Isn't he supposed to be Mystique's son?
In the books, yeah.
Am I right?
He's Mystique and Azazel's son.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
But not in the films.
No.
Well, we don't know.
Well, we don't know, but I don't think so.
But she's in the 60s. She was like, what, 20?
Well, here's the thing. They made no effort to age people up.
No.
Because this is the third film in this particular arc of the X-Men films.
James McAvoy lost his hair.
wasn't male pattern baldness, though, was it? It was the shock of being transmuted into another evil being. They made no effort, because you had these guys who, in the 60s, the first one was set in 1963, I believe, or 62, and they were all about, let's say, between 18 and 22, 23. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at people now who are all supposed to be, what, 38, 42, something like that, and they all still look 25 tops. Like Havoc, the guy who plays Havoc, they had made no effort whatsoever to age him. He was supposed to be a guy who was 40. Nah.
We're also forgetting that if this is 83, then Hank McCoy's got 20 years to turn into Frasier.
Yeah, and he's way off at the minute. Still looks like Nicholas Holt. Yeah, I don't think they did very well with that. It was just a thing of highs and lows for me. So we talked about that great scene with Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And another, I thought the opening scene in Egypt, I thought that scene was great, where you first see En-Sabanur being sort of betrayed and then left, and this is like 10,000 years BC or something like that. I thought that was a great action scene, great opening scene, and really started me up for the film. I thought the Phoenix Force coming out of Jean at the end of the film, again, was a great scene. So it was bookended by two really good scenes, but just a lot of shit in the middle.
Yeah.
You could have cut that at least by half an hour, because I think
remove the Wolverine scene.
Yeah. But there was times where I just thought, guys,
I'd actually like to sort of get that film when it comes out on DVD Blu-ray and just sit there and see how long they were kidnapped and before they were sort of rescued and went elsewhere, just to see how long that bit is, because you could literally remove it.
Yeah.
And I think they've edited that scene as well, because you don't even see the bit where they escape from the helicopter. We can assume they got off the helicopter because as soon as they turned off the dampeners, Jean would have hidden everyone.
We
can infer that, but they didn't show it. And I bet they filmed it, but they went, this is too much.
Yeah. That'll come out for the Blu-ray, like the road cut. We'll get a special. He loves that.
He does the extended version.
Bloody does.
He does. Did anyone notice in the very start of the film, in the opening narration by James McAvoy, that he was doing a Patrick Stewart impression?
Yeah.
It was the only point in the film where he spoke slowly and with a slightly deeper tone than he normally does. It was obvious. If you see it again, bear in mind I've seen it twice now, if you see it again, you will notice how clearly he's doing a Patrick Stewart impression, which he doesn't do at any other point in the film, just in the opening.
Tell you what, he would have been pretty good at the Imitation Game.
Yeah,
better than us.
He's coming back on when we bring it back in a few months.
Are you getting to do an Obi-Wan Kenobi impression?
That was good.
One last thing I will say about having seen this film twice: not worth the 3D. There was no real discernible difference. The only thing that was remotely good in the 3D, which when I saw it the second time round, you know the title sequence where you're kind of whooshing through a tunnel that's going through time?
Yeah,
that was quite good. That sort of one-minute sequence was kind of cool in 3D. No other part of the film had any value at all.
Shame.
Waste of an extra fiver.
Wow. So I'm happy to score it, I think. We've covered a lot here. I didn't even realise it was 2 hours and a half. Yeah. That's... Hopefully we'll get the two-hour cut that I want now, as well as the four-hour extended, which you know is going to be out at Christmas on special Blu-ray.
Man's got to make some money.
You've already pre-ordered the steelbook, haven't
you? Should we let the guests go first?
Oh, thank you. It was good, but it wasn't great. So I think I'm going to give it a fair score of 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. I've already said distinctly average. I'm going 5.
Mm-hmm. I'm going 7. I don't think it was no way as bad as what they say, and I enjoyed it. So for enjoyment value, it was good, 7.
Well, I'm going 6. I'm agreeing with Gemma. I think it was pretty much bang average. Nowhere near as good as Days of Future Past, mm-hmm. which I think is the high watermark for X-Men films. And I believe overall that gives it 6 out of 10.
It's prize giveaway time. So if you listened to our last episode, our good friends Headshot Clothing gave us a Beetlejuice t-shirt, and you're going to be the first person to own this because it's going live in a few weeks. You can go online and buy it from them.
It's a cool shirt.
But they gave us the first one, and you're going to get this a week before it goes on general sale, which is unreal.
And for free.
It's really not bad at all,
isn't it? That's even better, isn't it? Yeah.
The question I put out there was, who directed Beetlejuice?
The answer is Tim Burton.
That's exactly. I thought you said Timble.
Tim
Burton.
I like how you said Burton as if he was actually from the town of Burton, because that's how they speak, isn't it? Tim Burton.
That's right.
The winner is Ryan Abbott on our Twitter.
Yes, Ryan.
So you'll be getting this, and I want to see a photo. So now you've won it, I want to see you put a photo online and see how cool it looks. I've got two competitions now.
Ooh.
This is a big one. So the first one is from our friends at Universal. There's a film out in a couple of weeks called The Boss with Melissa McCarthy. And they've given us 5 stationary sets, which has got loads of books and paper. And it's got a cookie jar. It's a big collection. I'll go on our Twitter and I'll put some photos. It's got some nice stuff.
Is there a protractor in there?
We'll chuck one in. And all I'm going to say is you need to let us know, what is the character played by Melissa McCarthy in The Boss?
Disclaimer, we may not chuck a protractor in.
And the cookies in the jar might have been eaten. But I've got a better prize.
Oh, yeah.
Don't devalue that prize.
Wait till you hear it and then you'll understand. We've had a lot of people coming on Twitter, I want a Skip to the End mug. And everyone thought, I'm sure they're going to wait for this and do it on a special occasion. I've got something better lined up for when it's episode 50 or our anniversary. So I'm going to give away one mug on this episode.
You love devaluing prizes, don't you? People have been asking for this, but I've got something better planned for later on. So I'm just going to give away one mug.
But this is really good. So you're going to get a one-off Skip the End mug. Now, I want the real true fans to have a chance of winning this. Yeah. So the way you are going to win this is you're going to let us know what was our choice of film for our one-year anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a Google, that's not an IMDb, it's a go on our iTunes page or our website.
Skip to the end of code.
But it's a bit more dedication.
You're talking film review, rewatch?
The main review, not the rewatch, just the main review. Do you remember, guys, right now as I'm saying it?
Not off the top of my head, no.
No. Well, I'm going to announce the winner of both competitions in 2 weeks' time. But this is a very, very cool prize. And you're not allowed to enter. I'm sorry, Gemma.
What? Oh.
Sorry.
Just give the girl a mug anyway.
Yay. No.
Still in the 80s, Mark.
Thank God.
You must be loving this.
It's why I'm here. Some of the rewatch choices made me want to quit, but I'll still turn up as long as we've got the 80s going.
So literally it's going to end up that. Five episodes then. Well, it's 1984 this week, so we are getting close to the end.
Indeed.
So maybe we should just skip to the end. And
nice.
Get rid of Mark. I can't bother to get rid of him. He does all the editing. But it's 1984. It was a nice year. I was reading through it and researching, picking my choice. So let's start with... Gemma, you're the guest, and I know we put you on the spot by having you start quite a few times, so I'm not going to do that to you this time. Oh. It'd be unfair. Okay. Mark, you love the 80s. Go.
Gremlins. Not only is it the best film of 1984, it's best one of the best ever. Films of the 80s, but it was in my top five when we first did our anniversary and we chose our top five. I put this in. No, it was when we first launched the podcast, wasn't it? We did our top five. Mm-hmm. And then I took it out for Back to the Future. And sometimes I don't sleep at night knowing that I took out Gremlins.
Jesus Christ, you live a very simple life, very easy life, if that keeps you up at night.
In all fairness, though, you took it out, because I remember you saying you went to Secret Cinema, didn't you? And
yes.
You realised how much after that experience you loved it. And recently, we managed to get our review on the poster of Secret Cinema.
And their
and
trailer.
Now on the trailer.
Yeah. Yep, round of applause for them.
So the only way we can top it is if they do a Secret Cinema of Skip to the End.
Yeah. Is that like us on stage?
That'd be amazing.
It's like people just come to my flat where we record. They get to sit in our chairs,
drink Strongbow Dark Fruit,
and watch Birdemic.
They get to wear the pajama bottoms that Adam sometimes wears to record it.
Yeah, and it's 70 quid a ticket.
Just imagine one day this flat could be a museum.
It'd be yeah. They do it for the Beatles, don't they? You can go to John Lennon's house and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not comparing ourselves to
back to Gremlins. Yes. Billy from Gremlins, you know, all these great members of the cast. Gizmo. It's a great film, it really is. And it's not just a good film, it's a fantastic Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's up there with Die Hard as a watch every year. This is Bad Santa sort of level.
Definitely.
This is, I
want to
watch this.
Don't necessarily think Ben agrees with you on that. It's up there with Die Hard.
No. Not at all.
But I think it's a fantastic film. I love the story that you literally get given this pet and it's got rules. Like, you can't get it wet, you can't feed it after midnight, and you can't give it bright light. And I just love the simple little story of looking after it, but it goes all wrong. They turn into these disgusting evil, which are quite scary as a kid.
They were scary as
especially
a kid.
Especially Stripe. He's horrible. He's a real arsehole. But I just think it's a fantastic film. And I think the puppets and everything look really good even now. And I think a lot of films do look dated. I don't think Gremlins looks that bad. I think it's real still. I still watch it and think. I still think that Mogwai is real. And if I went to Chinatown, I could find one.
Can we get another Skip to the End project going where we remake Gremlins, but Mark plays the lead role? Because I'd love him to start describing some of the Gremlins as arseholes. you're an arsehole.
The thing that's just got me there is Mark saying that it still feels real. My question is, did you shit yourself?
My mum bought me a cuddly Gizmo.
See, I did actually have a Gizmo when I was a kid.
And did you follow through?
Clean as a whistle, it's great.
I realised after that episode when people were tweeting, going, oh, Mark shit himself. I'm like, oh shit, I just told about 50,000 people. I shit my pants as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid, make sure
yes. That's recent.
And I hope you noticed that I was putting pictures up of the actual thing that made me do it. So I try and get people to realise how scary as a kid
absolutely
that is.
Terrifying.
It, right. Looked like
it is terrifying.
No, it isn't. It looked like a child's toy you'd have in the swimming baths. And it made you defecate your bed.
Anyway, my choice is Gremlins. It's the greatest film of 84. Move along, Ben, you go, because I'm still thinking about shitting my pants.
Poo pocket Woody, that's good.
This is going to be the simplest, quickest one I've ever done. Two episodes ago, our rewatch was Spinal Tap.
There's your answer,
isn't it? Jobs are good. This is Spinal Tap, best film of 1984, one of the greatest comedy films ever made. Please go back and listen to two episodes ago and you'll hear me and all of us going about how marvellous it is. There's no need for me to do it again.
I'd be curious to see how many times in the 80s me and Ben have had the same film. Because I've also got This Is Spinal Tap.
Lovely stuff.
Do you want to pop another person on there? Because it's Mark as well. Two words, shit sandwich.
Well, there you go then. As Adam and I have both raved about this 1 month ago, Gemma, you tell us why this film's so good.
It's the fact that there was nothing like it at the time and there's never been anything that's even compared to it now. The fact that it has inspired so many comedy actors, comedy films as well. It's just timeless and it's still funny now as it was 30 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're spot on. Yeah. We've discussed
it's
it
incredible.
To death. I've watched it probably about three times since the rewatch as well. I've been loving it that much. Yeah. And I think something you said there about it being timeless, we spoke about it at the time as well, but the amount of parody of it you've seen still in the last sort of 20, 30 years has been astronomical. Mm-hmm. Everyone still references This Is Spinal Tap in comedies now.
Yeah.
And as well, the extras as well. I've got it on Steelbook at home and the extras are hilarious. When you actually turn it on and it loads up the main screen and you've got all three of them sort of talking over as the menus load up as well. And it is marvellous. It's just simply wonderful. It's in my top five. It's in my top three as well. The very first episode I was on, it was the the number one film I said was my favourite film of all time.
Excellent choice.
It's got to be one of our most popular ever on social media for rewatch choices as well. People are going crazy, like actually going out and buying it again just because they loved us talking about it so much. And we genuinely had so much fun rewatching that.
I saw some fantastic exchanges on the Twitter of just Spinal Tap gifts, and, which was just, it's great.
There's enough to go all night on
there
that
really
stuff.
Is.
This was one of the hardest years, though, I won't lie. I think Gremlins was a tough one. And
Gremlins would have been my second pick.
Check out some of these, all right? And then you'll be like, fair play. Tom Round put, it obviously should be Terminator, but Beverly Hills Cop.
Both brilliant.
Absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. Darren Wolf, Footloose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's the epitome of the 80s.
Is that a good thing? So was wearing blazers with sleeves rolled up to the armpits. Yeah. You know, that doesn't make it a good thing.
It's about a town that won't dance. And
they've banned dancing. Right now,
Understood.
Sounds like heaven to me.
Frederica Comoglio.
Oh.
Karate Kid.
Yes.
I thought you might have gone for that. I only got a bit of love for Daniel Sun.
This is Spinal Tap, man. There's no other choice. It was a bit of a difficult year. When I was looking through the films and I was researching, I was like, okay, that's good. But then I saw This is Spinal Tap. And
Some of the ones you're listing here, great, great films, but there are two distinct tiers to me. There's tier two, which is all these great films, and there's tier one, so far and above everything else, Spinal Tap.
Mental Overlord Show, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Very good film.
Yep.
One of you I thought was going to pick this. We Have a Hulk has said Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Tremendous
again.
Film.
Again, great film. Yeah. I think that's probably tier 1.5.
At Chicane 02, Nightmare on Elm Street, the original.
Oh, yes, the original. Definitely the original.
Robbo McGlovin. I've not seen this, and it's probably one of the ones where people go, what? Amadeus.
No, I haven't either. It's very, very long, apparently.
I'm sure it's one of those that's been on ITV of a Sunday, and I've just kind of had it around me, but not really cared.
Couple more. Christopher Spurlock has put Neverending Story, which is a great film.
Yes.
And finally, Pickle Stickies has put, it's a tough one, but I'm going with Police Academy, the original, where it all started.
The first Police Academy film was great.
On the subject of Neverending Story, when I was researching this, I did see that Once Upon a Time in America was in 1984, and that was a Never-Ending Story.
I remember when you watched that as a rewatch, and it was like 3.5 hours or something.
Homework.
Isn't it? And it was. That was it. We used to do a topic called homework, didn't we? Where if we hadn't seen a famous film, we'd go away and watch it. And I think that was the only time where it truly did feel like homework.
It really did.
So next time it's 1983.
Wow.
The year of my birth. Our rewatch this week is the Tom Green comedy.
What?
Yeah.
Debatable.
Freddy Got Fingered from 2001. It came about in that very brief period where Tom Green was a thing.
Very brief.
It was about a week.
Yeah. He had an MTV show, which was kind of like a proto Jackass. It was just, you know, silly stunts and wackiness. I think that was in about 1999, 2000. Then I think he got a couple of bit parts in films like Road Trip. And this was his first and, of course, last attempt at being the leading man in the film. He also wrote and directed it. We mentioned earlier that Gemma's reaction to this was one of disgust and fear. Having put yourself through it for a second time, Gemma, thoughts, opinions?
Let me get this straight. This film is essentially about a man who still lives with his parents. The only way to get the respect from his father is by wanking off an elephant and directing it directly at him.
The end.
There we go.
I've never looked at it like that.
I think I'm done here.
There are.
I don't know whether you're saying that's a good or bad thing.
Well, I don't know if you can see my notes here, but...
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Got really into it. But there's a capital, they're all in capital letters. And it says, and I quote, "A fucking abomination. I hate people who have too much money in Hollywood."
Fair enough.
And we've tried to cut down the swearing on this episode. You've probably noticed we don't do the F words, but that's it.
That's fair.
An impact like that, you can have
Although
it.
Although, you hadn't just watched a Kevin Smith film? Because that is my reaction to when I see anything of his. Just to carry on from what Gemma was saying. So, yes, Freddy Got Fingered is about a character called Gordon, played by Tom Green, who is a sort of jobless loser who lives in his parents' basement. He's in his mid-20s. They want rid of him. And he decides he wants to be a cartoonist, but he keeps getting a variety of jobs working in cheese sandwich-based industries. He works in a cheese sandwich factory for a while. That doesn't take. And then he works in a cheese sandwich shop. That too doesn't take. And then he eventually manages to get a cartoon made or something or other. But it is just an excuse for Tom Green's hijinks.
Mm. And some pretty sweet skateboarding tricks.
He is very good on a board, I'll give him that. Yeah. And he did all the stunts himself, I read.
I noticed in the slow-mo sequences as well.
Yeah.
But
Don't analyse this. It's fine. Stop giving this airtime. Like, seriously, this is. There aren't many films that I've seen that are worse than Grimsby.
Right.
This is it. This is there.
It's they're touching it, isn't it? It's a battle of them two.
In the scene in Grimsby, the elephants are shagging each other.
Yeah.
This is what this is.
This is two shit
films shagging each other.
You're getting in the Grimsby vagina of shitness.
I remember seeing this film when I was about, I think it must be 13, 14.
Yeah.
I was in year 10, I think it was, doing my first year of GCSE and all that business. And one of my friends said to me in woodwork, "Do you know who Tom Green is?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I've heard of him. He's got that show, hasn't he?" He goes, "He's done a great film called Freddy Got Fingered." And I went, "Oh, okay." And he found it absolutely there. So I went around his house, we watched it. And even in the midst of the time in your life when you are fully behind puerile juvenile humour, this wasn't funny to me. Now, the strangest thing is, this man, I actually ran into him when I was out on Friday night.
I thought it meant Tom Green.
This friend who said, I ran into him on Friday night when I was out on the lash, and he was talking to me. I was like, I was sitting there thinking, this is so odd that I ran into you tonight, because I'm going to watch Freddy Got Fingered tomorrow.
Do you want to come with me?
For the rematch. And I just sat there thinking, I hate you.
It's still too long.
The reason, it's been about 10 years, but it's still too short a time.
See, I like that guy a lot, because if he hadn't got you to watch it in the past, you'd hate me instead. I'd be the one bearing the brunt of your hatred.
That's very true, actually. Yeah, like, the fact that maybe you orchestrated. Did you find out that he did that? Get him out on Friday to meet me, so I'd be like, "Oh, it's your fault," and then I wouldn't blame you.
Well, what you don't know is I have sort of Kitty Pryde style Days of Future Past powers, and I actually went back in time, got him to make you watch that film.
And it's like the idea of you as a 30-odd-year-old bloke sitting in my woodwork, probably dressed like a early 2000s school kid would.
He's had a fake beard on and a hat.
But, oh my God, it's one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Not a fan then. Mark, thoughts?
Loved it. No.
8 out of 10, done.
We joke, and we've watched shit like Birdemic. We've watched shit like Troll 2. We've really watched... What's the one?
Battlefield Earth.
That was really bad. This for me is more offensive. It's just... I can't even get any logic behind of why they allowed him to do it. And I know he is the oh, but he did Road Trip and he was quite funny for 5 minutes in that. And he's married Drew Barrymore, so he's got he's the cool guy at the moment. But it's just ridiculous that has write down on a piece of paper 10 things you want to do in this film. Oh, I want to wank off an animal. Okay, I want to do a sandwich where I put in way too much cheese. Okay, what else do you want to do? I don't know. I just want to just skateboard a bit. All right, well, write it all down and put it in an order, like 1 to 10. And then what we'll do, we'll film you doing it all and try and piece it together. And that's your film. And it's just fucking annoying. And it's not even good shit. It's like, you know when you watch The Room and stuff and it's bad, but you love it and you adore it and you buy boxer shorts because it's that good with his name on. This is so bad.
That's not because you shit yourself when you need new ones.
This is because it's just annoying. And it's not even, there's not one line in there that even made me chuckle. And you're just watching him going, you're an absolute loser.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? And he probably still does live with his parents at this age. He probably now has been divorced and he's got no money because his career's gone downhill. And he's just an absolute arsehole.
Well, this has turned into a personal attack on Tom Green.
I just don't like him now. He just pissed me off. Like in Road Trip, I liked him. I thought it was just the right amount. With the mouse, I thought that was quite funny. And being, trying to get with the mom, with the person he was showing around the campus. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
But for an hour and a half of him, and again, it's under an hour and a half, This was painful, and I just didn't enjoy it. It really pissed me off.
So, I am not going to sit here and say that I think this is a good film. It isn't. Objectively, this is a terrible, terrible film. But there are parts in it that I genuinely find funny. And it's kind of the inverse of what happened with you, Adam. You watched this as a youth, and it just didn't work for you, and it still doesn't work now. I watched this as a youth, and I found it funny. I'm pretty sure I watched it with friends, and I think we were kind of underage drinking, and we all found this film hilarious, various parts of it. And so now, I still have kind of residual laughter. I can watch it, like the thing where he straps some pulleys to himself with sausages on the end and he's playing the piano. Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages? That makes me chuckle. The bit where he's in the sandwich factory and he jumps up onto the conveyor belt with a huge salami saying, I'm a sexy boy. That made me chuckle. And the thing that makes me laugh more than anything else is the little kid, Andy, who keeps getting injured. So there's a bit when he drives up in his car and Andy runs out to meet him and for no apparent reason goes headfirst into the side of the car. And then Andy's face is just a mask of blood. And there's a bit later on where a bottle gets thrown at Andy. This kid's about 9. And every time he gets beaten up, there are long lingering shots on the blood dripping from his childish face that still makes me laugh. And I know it's not a good film, but this amuses me.
He's taking it back to when he watched it when he was... 15 years ago, he's okay, the blood on the face, I actually do remember chuckling at that. But I'm sorry, when he's got those and he's playing the... No, I'm sorry. He's got sausages stapled to his head. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was looking at you a dick. No.
The weirdest thing about this is I was coming into this today and one of the points I was going to make is I can actually see Deadpool from Ben's perspective. that sort of juvenile humour that's just a bit too ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Sitting there thinking, okay, now Deadpool did have quite a lot of that. I can see why Ben didn't like that. But now he said this, that he actually laughing. I don't understand where his head
is. But as I said, that's because I liked it when I was a youth, when I was the target market. Had I seen Deadpool at the age of 14, I'd have thought it was one of the best films ever made, guaranteed. But because I've seen it as an adult with a right-thinking mind, I think it's garbage, atrocious film.
Well, how about for episode 200, when you're about 58, we'll watch Deadpool, and you might be like, this is amazing, because back when I was 30, it was unreal.
No. When he's that old, he'll be like, oh, should we watch Deadpool? No, let's put Freddy Got Fingered on.
Yeah, one of the old classics. Here's my biggest question, though. So the character of Freddy is Gordon's little brother, and there's a point where Gordon is sick of his parents having a go at him, so he claims to a therapist that his dad has fingered his little brother, Freddy. When I say little, his brother is 25 years old. Freddy then gets taken to a home for abused children against his will. Again, something that I think is innately funny. But my question is this. How in Christ's name did they manage to get away with the title Freddy Got Fingered? Because I remember when I first heard that title, I thought it meant fingered in the sense of being blamed for something.
Yeah.
But no, it meant sexually abusing his bumhole. How did the studio...
I know.
You see films that get their names get changed because they think they're a bit too risque or whatever. How did Freddy Got Fingered get through?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I can only assume it's because at the time he could do anything he wanted.
But still,
there was 6 months when he was like apparently the hottest property on the planet, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Because everyone loved him. Look at the people he gets in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To start with, everyone wanted to work with him. This bombed his career.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, as well, if you look at what's on the soundtrack to this as well, you've got stuff like Eminem, you've got like
Gary Newman.
Sex Pistols as well. You've got like
Ramones.
Big name bands on there. And of course, they would have, I'm surely someone would have to have signed some to say, yes, you have permission to use our music on there. Mm-hmm. And this is a film where a guy will actively stop his car, go into a field, grab a horse's ding dong and go, I'm a farmer boy, daddy. Like, and then
Ben's just laughing. Like,
Ben's going to give us a 9.
I don't understand why that's funny.
I know.
I'm still thinking of the fact that I remember Kevin Smith did a cop out and wasn't allowed to use a couple of dicks.
A couple of dicks, yeah.
And he wanted to Zachary make a porno, got banned in a lot of countries because they're porno. So to say Freddy got fingered.
If this was like an under the radar kind of independent film,
no, but it's huge,
it was made
wasn't
by
it?
Fox, I
yeah,
think.
It was
so
massive.
It was a studio movie and they allowed Freddy Got Fingered.
And he was one of the hottest properties on the planet.
And it made serious funds.
That doesn't tend to matter.
I mean. But this is what I mean. That he was, it got so much publicity because it was his first film. He was really hot at the time. So, how did they get away with it?
I don't know.
unless he sold it to them that it was like, oh yeah, someone's getting the blame for something.
Yeah.
They changed the characters' names around at the last minute.
Yeah. Or just filmed a completely separate, sensible film with no ridiculous jokes, showed it to the studio, and then did a bait and switch on the last day.
I think they might have twigged on when they all of a sudden saw him deliver a baby and swing this baby by the umbilical cord like a bloody helicopter.
That was ridiculous.
And cut the umbilical cord with his teeth.
Oh my God.
When she's saying to him, I want to give you a blowjob, and he's got his still attached.
Oh my God.
That looked like literally like a pepperoni staple to his stomach. That looked
pretty
cool.
It wasn't his one. It was the baby's one. He ducked it for fun. See, Mark's laughing now.
But, you could have that. 9 out of 10.
Well, I think one of the reasons why I find it funny, it's not that the jokes that themselves are innately funny, it's just they're so out there, and they come from what is clearly a twisted mind. Only he or another, you know, absolute mental case could come up with something like this. It's the audacity. It's not that they're innately funny. It's just they're so audacious and out there that I can't help but laugh. It's a laugh of shock as much as a laugh of humour.
It's kind of on the...
It's certainly not a laugh it's of on humor. The
it reminds me of sort of like Shrimp.
Yeah.
That sort of territory of humour where...
From Tim and Eric.
We enjoyed that though.
Yeah, exactly.
But Adam looks so unhappy right now. He's so pissed off.
I just remember hating it then, and now it's literally brought back everything I hated about my life then.
you can't get this film a bad score because you had a shit youth.
No, my youth was fine until I saw this film. It ruined everything.
I have a horrible feeling as well. You never know. It's like that sort of Dumb and Dumber.
No, he's never going to work again.
He might come to the second
Who's
film
gonna
in
make
a
that?
Few years.
Who's going to pay for him to make that?
Well, lads...
We put it on the slate.
Not got much on.
I'm out. See ya.
I'm ready to score it because I just don't want to. He's had 13 minutes of this podcast now.
Shouldn't have to.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
13 minutes too long.
I think I know what Adam's score is going to be.
I want to film this podcast from now on just for this face. What do you want to give it, Adam?
Oh, I don't want to give it anything at all. I don't think it should be rated as a film. I'm going to give it a 1.
Oh, that's more than I thought.
Because I didn't hate it as much as I hated some of the other films I've rated. And I actually quite like Rip Torn.
Yeah, good old Rip Torn. Patches O'Houlihan.
Yeah. I think he's actually quite funny in it as well.
When he's trying to get him to fuck him by pulling his pants down.
That bit was quite funny as well.
See, Mark, see,
so I just need to watch it again. It's amazing. I'm not going to be as harsh as a duck egg.
We're going to give it a 9.
So. I think 3's fair because I like the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I think Sum 41 were on there as
but
well.
You're now giving him credit for something he didn't do.
Okay, but I've laughed a couple of times on this, so 3. It's still not a great rating, is it? It's not up there with sort of Mac and Me.
Gemma?
If I could give it a negative rating, I would. But... it's only because of Rip Torn. It's a 1 for me.
1. Okay. So what we're on so far, Mark gave it a 3 and you've given it 2 1s. I'm going to give it a 4 purely because there are enough laughs in there for me to chuckle through it. Not a good film. You're not going to hear me claim that it's a good film. It isn't. It's a terrible film. But there are enough laughs in there for it to get a 4 from me. So what's that? 4, 7, 8, 9. What's 9 divided by 4? Christ. Should we call it 2?
Yeah.
So Freddy got fingered. 2 out of 10.
What's the next choice, Mark?
Adam just wants this over and done with.
I just want to apologise now, Gemma, that every episode you've come on, this is your 4th, is it now?
It's the 4th one.
You've had turd films.
Massively.
Really
and
bad.
You're going to get a really good one now, I know it.
It might be good, but I will make sure that when you do come back in May, a few months, get that 5th stamp on that card. We'll
then
make sure it's a good one.
Yeah, then I'll get my free chai latte.
You do.
That's it. Well remembered.
Thank make sure you're wearing a scarf and a beret when you get
it. Of course.
It,
we're also going to give you a DVD of Knight of Cups.
Please don't.
The only copy ever sold.
So it is my choice. I'm going to tell you now, Adam, it's not a bad film. I can promise you that.
That doesn't sound promising at all.
But it's from the 80s, from 1987. Now, this is going to be a weird choice because it's not really my own choice. We had a lot of abuse for not seeing a film very recently and someone came on social media and said, I want to pick this. I think it's time that us three have a film for the very first time. Witness it together. People have said to me it's incredible. The Princess Bride.
Great choice. Yeah.
Very good choice.
Hello.
I've been building this up for quite a while, so I hope it delivers. It's a brand new one-off game show. Gemma, I've done this just for you.
Thank you.
I like the fact I'm going to be Games Master again, so I can't lose. I'm a bit sick of losing every time. And it's called Have You Seen It? Now, it's going to be quite simple. You can earn 10 points, but none of this friendship of team names. It's you three against each other. Rivalry. I want Ooh. Real rivalry.
You want blood for blood and by yes, the bucket.
Let's get savage.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you each a very short snippet from a famous film. I don't think I've been too harsh and picked some random film you'll never know. It's really quite simple. But I know what it's like being on the spot. It's easy to forget. But I've made it a bit more interesting. Instead of just saying, oh, that's so-and-so, you've got the possibility to earn 2 points. You're going to get 1 point if you name the film. But you're also going to get 1 point if you name the character that said the line.
The character, not the actor.
The character,
not the actor, the character.
Right, right. Okay.
So you're going to get 2 points, technically, each time you get a go. You're going to get 5 goes each, so you can earn 10 points. But I'm going to throw one little thing in there as well, and it's going to be called a repeat button. Okay? Now, what you can do is you can have your clip played back to you 1 time extra. That's a one-off, so you trade it in. But the maximum points you can then earn is only 1.
Okay.
But you only get to use it once. Right, so it's not like, Mark, can you play that again? I think I know what it is. Nope. Unless you use it, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
Can I just say that Have You Seen It is in no way affiliated with the board game Seen It, and all similarities are purely coincidental. Honest.
Oh, dear.
So I think we're going to go in the order of Ben, then Adam, then Gemma. 5 rounds, 10 points. If there's a draw, there's a clip that I will play, and it'll be the first one to shout out the answer. Oh, I hope it doesn't come to that, because I want a bit of rivalry. So I'll play the clip.
Just all of us get 5 out of 5. And sit there.
I will play the clip, and when the clip finishes, you give me your answer. No shouting out. I don't like that. We're going to be, you know, quite grounded here. So, Ben, are you ready for your first clip?
I am.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
It's Airplane.
Yep.
And I know it's Leslie Nielsen, but I don't know the name of the character he's playing.
So it's 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dr. Rumack.
Nice.
Good start, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have got that either.
Adam, are you ready for your first clip?
Go for it.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
The Joker, The Dark Knight.
Brilliant start.
Nice
2 points.
Done.
Gemma, are you ready for your first one?
Let's do this.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
Okay, I think it's Pulp Fiction. Oh my god. No, I'm on the spot. The character's gone.
Nope. Is that it?
That's it. Sorry.
So you've got 1 point for Pulp Fiction. Do one of you guys want to just. You don't get
Jules
a point?
Jules Winfield.
Christ,
there you go.
Bloody hell. It's.
Not easy, is it?
No, when you're on the spot, absolutely.
Ben, are you ready for your second one?
Indeed.
$10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
Jaws, Quint.
Yes, 2 points. That's a great quote.
Yeah.
You can tell you've had a lot of fun putting these together.
It's been a lot of work. Adam, are you ready for your second one?
Go.
Saturday, Donnie, is Shabbos, the Jewish day of rest. That means I don't work. I don't drive a car. I don't fucking ride in a car. I don't handle money. I don't turn on the oven. And I sure as shit don't fucking roll!
Oh. No, it's gone. I don't know either.
Do one of you guys?
It's the Big Lebowski. I can't remember the character's name, though.
No, I don't know It's John Goodman.
It's John Goodman.
Yeah.
Walter.
Of course it's Walter. Oh, Adam gets Zip.
This is quite tricky.
Gemma, are you ready for yours? You need to get this to kind of make it a bit more.
Let's crack on.
How much more black could this be? And the answer is none.
This is Spinal Tap. And the character's name. I've got to try and make sure I don't get this mixed up.
It's difficult on the spot.
Oh my god, it really is, isn't it? Yeah, it's gone. I'm sorry. Yep.
1 point for Spinal Tap. You needed to say to me, Nigel Tufnell.
Bollocks. I had Derek Smalls and I had David St.
Hubbins. Hubbins, yeah.
Yep, they were the only ones in my head.
Round 3. Ben, are you ready for yours?
I am.
You guys give up or you're thirsty for more?
I'm going to say that's Home Alone.
Correct.
What the frig is Macaulay Culkin's character's name? Oh, shit. I know it as well. I'm going to kick myself when I get this wrong. I want to say, like, Andy, but it's not Andy.
I think I know it.
I know it too.
Do you want
Kieran McAllister?
Nope. Kevin McAllister.
Kevin. I get 1 point.
Yep. Adam.
Go.
It means that I, like God, do not play with dice and do not believe in coincidence.
V from V for Vendetta.
Lovely. If you hadn't have got that.
The two pointers that I've got so far have been the two obvious ones.
Yep. It's not going to stay that easy.
Oh, no.
Gemma?
Okay.
You've really got to get this.
I do.
What am I going to do with a gun rack?
Wayne's World, and that's Wayne. Wayne Campbell.
Yes!
Sorry!
Two more rounds. What's the scores at the moment?
I'm on 4. Adam is also on 4. Gemma is on 4.
Ben.
Yeah.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
That is Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs.
Brilliant.
It took every fibre of my being not to do that then.
Adam.
Go.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's They Live.
Yep.
Oh, no. What's his name? Oh, no. No, it's gone.
Nada.
Yep.
Nada. I was sitting there. But I know it begins with N. But
1 point for Adam.
It's not easy, is it?
No.
Gemma.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink. Oh, it's Mean Girls.
Yep.
Oh, what's her name? What is her bloody name? I'd give you the actress, but I know that's not what you want.
I literally watched this film this morning.
I'm just going to give it a guess and say Christina. I had a guess.
Regina George.
Oh, it is. I was thinking of Amanda Seyfried for some reason.
Gemma's furious with us.
I am.
I like the fact that none of you have used your replay.
I know, well, that's at the biting moment.
Well, it is
the
final round now. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Tell him if you must. I no longer care. I mean to have you, even if it must be burglary.
It's with Nail and I, and it's Monty.
Yes, 2 points.
I must have you, boy.
I had so much fun editing that one. Adam, final one.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Technically two voices there, Adam. Could have him on a loophole. Could have him on a technicality
yeah,
there.
Yeah. replay it. Why not?
I feel the need for speed.
Ow!
Top Gun.
Correct.
Maverick.
2 points! Incredible! You ready?
I think so.
I got the results of the test back. I definitely have breast cancer.
It's the room and it's Claudette!
2 points!
Yes!
Did you not want to replay that? So, Ben, what's the scores?
So, in joint last place, we have Gemma and Adam with 7 out of 10. But way out in front, the standard champion is myself, 8 out of 10.
Oh. Way out in front.
Did you want to hear the decider if we needed it?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the quiz. This is the real quiz.
I've thrown a kettle over a pub. What have you done?
Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle. Sooner or later, get the squish, just like grip.
Is it Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi?
It is. Yeah. So, I hope you enjoyed that. I think that's a good one for the listeners. I think there's a lot of people listening back shouting out on buses now, like, Top Gun!
Yeah.
It's a shame that it takes so much work to put together, because that's one that I'd like to do again.
I'll bring it back as a one-off.
That
was
a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's good.
A lot of fun.
So, stick around. We're going to have a brand new game show. I don't even want to give the name away. I just want to keep people, you know, on the edge of their seat, like, what are they going to do? So tune in 2 weeks' time, and we're going to give you a brand new, unreal, groundbreaking, ripped off probably TV Gold or something.
No, hold on.
Sorry. Challenge TV.
And we've definitely got it.
Yes.
Like we've already got it. It's already we definitely know what it is.
Is it?
We're not just sort of blabbing here because we haven't come up with one yet. Yes. That's definitely
we've definitely got one.
Yeah.
I've seen the paperwork.
So don't worry.
Thank you, Gemma. We're nearly at the end, but just before we get there, as always, listener questions. It's nice to have you on this as well, Gemma. Just another answer.
Why not?
Just start
thinking in general.
Yeah, that as well. At Blakey2K, guys, what are your thoughts on the brand new Ghostbusters trailer? I didn't think it was that bad.
Better than the first one. Still not sold.
I think the film's going to be better than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be a good film by any stretch. I think it's going to be better than it looks.
Yeah.
I think people need to give it a chance just to wait to see when they actually see the films. I think a lot of people have already written it off because, and it's always the comments where they go, I don't care that it's got four women as the lead, but, and that is the reason why.
But
so,
that's not what Ghostbusters is.
Exactly. Like, give kids like a chance to maybe create their own heroes and their own merchandise. Yeah. So just wait until it comes out.
They're Ghostbusters, not Ghostbustresses.
Yeah.
The thing about the second trailer that I noticed, and I said this to Mark, is that it seems to me like they're setting up Chris Hemsworth to be the villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you see him get like taken over by a ghost, and then you see him by some weird machinery pulling a weird face. And I think they've tried to hide that. I could be way off, he might not be at all, but I think they may have tried to hide that from the public, and it turns out he's the villain rather than just the secretary that he seems to be.
I got that kind of feeling about it as well, so... Could be interesting.
Yeah. I think the film will be all right.
I think it will.
There's a lot of good people in it. I think we discussed this. I can't remember if it was on air or off air last time we recorded, but, you know, Paul Feig is directing it.
Yeah.
It stars a lot of incredibly talented and funny women. The right people are in place, so we'll give it a chance.
Yeah, if you're fans of The Office, Bridesmaids, you know, I think people are going to be in for a treat.
Yeah.
Really do.
I'm happy. CGI just give him a chance.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Not too sure about Stay Puft. I know he's been a bit mashed up at the end, but I'm still. It looks like he got Mr. Whippy on his head.
Yeah.
I don't like that, but we'll see. At Shizcops with a Z at the end. That is the name. Guys, who would you all like to choose for the next James Bond? There's a lot of rumours this week, isn't it? It's officially, that's his last one now. He's done with it. Daniel Craig doesn't want any more, even though they're going to offer him about 60 million or something. He's like, nope, I'm done.
Do you know who I think would make a really good James Bond if they did it properly? Ian McKellen. Wouldn't that be great?
An aged Lothario. Yeah.
Him running after you.
It'd be amazing. Yeah.
There's a lot of talk that it's going to be Hiddleston. He appears to be the front runner. And people still talking about Idris Elba. I would want to see Fassbender. And I think I've said this before on episode. Do you remember one of the opening scenes from X-Men First Class where you see Eric Lentry sort of trekking around the world hunting down these people?
Yeah.
And it's a very Bond type scene. I remember watching it the first time thinking Fassbender should be Bond.
He sits in that pub, doesn't he? With the retired Nazi soldiers in Argentina. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm.
I think after seeing Civil War, I think Anthony Mackie would make a really good James Bond. I think he's got the composure and the coolness as well and sort of the self-assurance. So obviously with the contract of being a Falcon, obviously it's not going to happen, but I think that's quite a good shot.
It's notoriously difficult for any of these guys to kind of make their way into other films at the minute because Marvel can just go, we need you.
Yeah.
Especially people like Falcon who are like appearing in things like Ant-Man, and he's bound to have roles in other of the Marvel films as well. So it's probably difficult for someone like him to break that.
They locked them into extensive contracts. I think Samuel L. Jackson's was a 9-picture deal, and Chris Evans's was a 6-picture deal. But either way, that's taken up a large chunk of your life.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying Tom Hardy might get it.
I don't know. He's a bit too rough and tumble for me.
Yeah, he's a bit stacked as well. I know he can stack down if he needs to, but I don't know. Ryan Gosling. Just so every woman in the world's happy. At MMS5MS, your dream fantasy mashup film. His would be Batman versus Predator.
Some Dark Horse comics, I think, of that.
So. Yeah. Is there?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Take a read of them, my
friend. Can I have Alien versus Wally?
Johnny versus Mark.
What, from the room? Yeah. It's just the room too.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I'd like to see the bride from Kill Bill being kindergarten cop. those kids are going to be protected no matter what, but that could be quite a good show.
I didn't realise till the other day that Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph is actually out now on DVD. I just thought it was something
town,
that was
really?
Coming. I saw the trailer. Oh, it's coming out soon. It's actually out now.
What, you thought that was going to be at the cinema?
Yeah.
Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren.
I was thinking, do we drop Rogue One's review? Yeah, so it's out now to buy.
Oh, fantastic.
I'd like to see Anger Management, but with Hulk instead.
Andy Downton. Each of you, including Gemma, it's nice he's mentioned you.
Ah, thanks, Anthony.
Please, can you recommend me a good documentary to watch?
Mm-hmm. Straight away, I'd like to go first on this, because I was saying this as I was coming today. On Netflix, a few weeks ago, I caught the documentary called Team Foxcatcher, which documents John DuPont and obviously Team Foxcatcher through a series of home videos, as well as obviously Talking Head interviews. Absolutely astounding, absolutely amazing. I think it's possibly the best documentary that's on Netflix at the moment, so I highly recommend that one.
And it must be better than the Foxcatcher film.
Humongously.
Does it he wear like a fake nose and close the band?
100% real, this one.
The one I always recommend if people haven't seen it is Blackfish.
Yeah.
It literally changed my entire view of any kind of sort of water park or nature reserve like that. It is very powerful. It's not really a light-hearted film for a Friday night in with the missus or anything like that, or the mister. But it is fantastic, and it's very well done.
I would say seek out any of the work of Alex Gibney. Things like Mea Maxima Culpa, which is about child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church, Going Clear, which is about Scientology. He's done several, and they're all marvellous.
He is kind of one of the top echelons of that now.
A film documentary called The King of Kong, which is really, really good fun. And I watched it this afternoon again before I came here. I just forgot how good it was. It's amazing. Just check it out. Movie Geek Cast. Each of you tell me what would be your worst ever movie for a first date. You're going to say one you've been on. This is experience. Look at your face.
500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, that's pretty bleak.
Very, very bleak.
Just in general, or?
No, it's a good film, but I think it's a film that you don't watch with a potential suitor.
Did you watch that with your boyfriend?
No, I've never watched it with my boyfriend.
Never do.
Nope. Yeah, you just leave. You finish watching it thinking that there is no such thing as love. So, don't watch that with your potential boyfriend, girlfriend.
Again, I would say Mea Maxima Culpa, a documentary about child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church.
I was thinking the exact same.
Use that for every answer for the rest of the questions I ask.
I was literally thinking that my answer was going to be that film Ben about child sex abuse in the Catholic Church.
I know what Adam's would be, Scott Pilgrim, because if you don't like it, you're not getting
it. It's the litmus test, isn't it?
That's it.
You've got to wait and leave that for a bit longer before you see that.
Probably Crazy Stupid Love, because when I take my top off, I'm not going to look anything like Ryan Gosling, so you're going to be gutted.
Christ, you're thinking about getting far on the first date. You're quite confident, aren't you?
Or Her, because that's again another one where I'm like, I don't need you, I'm just going to go and get ahead.
That's literally where, at the end of the day, you both walk out the cinema and just shake hands. Very separate ways.
Or Gone Girl. Oh, that's not one you want to see on a first date.
No.
Serbian film. At We Don't 32, JJ Abrahams.
Abrams.
I did pretty well. Listen to questions about listening. J.J. Abrams, very overrated or just slightly overrated?
Neither.
I think he's good.
Very talented
I don't
man.
Think he's overrated.
Not
at all.
I love the guy.
I don't think he's overrated. Yeah. I think he's. I don't think he's necessarily really held up as a beacon of directing anyway.
No.
I don't really think he's held up there as one of the highest, one of the most brilliant directors out there at the minute, is he?
He's a safe pair of hands. You give him a franchise and he'll knock it out of the park. But, no one's going to think he's the next Scorsese.
No, to say he's overrated is a bit ludicrous.
Yeah. He's like a postman. He delivers the goods.
Or throws them over your fence and breaks them up. Simon Foster, why hasn't Being Nick Cage started production yet?
Exactly.
And I think he's aiming that at us. Like, really? We should be doing it.
Wow.
But that would be a good film.
That'd be an amazing film.
Would you buy it?
Oh, buy it. I'd invest in it.
Oh, Kickstarter. There we go. Investor on board.
There we go.
He at the moment, I've seen a lot of films that are going straight to DVD, and he really is now releasing the worst stuff I've ever seen, and it's literally not even pound shop stuff. I can't believe it. He's doing a Bruce Willis.
Oh, Christ. Mm. Well, I've got the best title you could do this as.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than Being Nick Cage, why not call it Not the Being Nick Cage?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Nope, you're not getting involved.
That's a shame.
You can invest, but that's all it is. Terrible. Go home. Nerds Without Pants. The voice coach.
Oh, right. I thought that's just what you were calling it.
That's the documentary. Compose yourself, girl.
I'm sorry.
Nerds Without Pants. The voice coach for Sherlock Holmes has come out and said that Robert Downey Jr. is the best ever English accent from an American of all time. Thoughts?
Nah, Dick Van Dyke.
Go on behind me, Gavner. I've never seen any of the Sherlock Holmes films, so I don't know what his English accent is like, to be honest. I can't give you an opinion.
Thing he's put a bet on you, that guy.
Ray Winston.
Yeah, he's got the best accent ever.
He is American.
Yeah. I just started to. I don't care where he's from, I just love his accent.
I don't know. I liked him. I thought Gwyneth Paltrow's British accent was good.
Sliding Doors, very good.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah, I'd agree.
If I'm honest.
I think we spoke before about how we actually thought she was.
Yeah.
I thought she was, actually.
Yeah, I thought she was. I think that was on the last episode we spoke about. We speak about Sliding Doors far more than any movie podcast in the year 2016, sure.
That's going to rewatch soon.
And that's the end of that question. Moving on.
Kieran Leeson has asked a question. I think us guys have covered it, but it'd be nice to hear what you think.
Okay.
Your favourite place that you could visit from a film location?
Probably the train station from Sliding Doors.
I would like to... I love Lost in Translation, and it's always made me want to
thanks.
Go to...
Oh, put him on the game show I came up with.
Was amazing, by the way. Yeah, I think that's always made me want to go to Tokyo, because it covers not just the city, but also sort of the... when Scarlett Johansson's character goes on a train and goes to like the old traditional sort of areas of Japan. So it is a bit of an isolating film when you watch it, but it's always made me want to go there. So I'd say, Tokyo.
I'd like to visit the church featured in Mia Maximoff's documentary about child sex abuse in the Catholic Church.
Well, something Ben's on a deal to mention this. It's getting paid in Strombo dark fruits.
Available to download. From all good retail.
Bring it home.
I would like to go to the beach that they filmed Jaws at. It's quite a simple one, really. If you can sort that for me, I'd really appreciate it. Ian Dickey has said he's recently watched Green Room, and he thought it was really shocking, lots of moments of violence in film.
Mm.
What's your most shocking moment that you can remember on the spot of violence in film? His... was in Pan's Labyrinth, where they get the bottle to the face, which is pretty gross.
Yeah.
For me, instantly, I don't like the curb stomp on American history. That's just because the teeth sound.
Yeah.
That always stays with me. I hate it.
Horrendous.
It's not the most violent. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
It's pretty grim.
Something I've discussed on previous podcasts, I don't like anything where someone's tongue gets cut off.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It happens in Old Boy. I have pretty high tolerance for violence and gore and all that stuff. Doesn't bother me. But if I see someone's tongue getting cut off, I recoil.
On The Collector, they get some pliers and hold the tongue for a while of this girl who's screaming and they're twisting it. Don't watch that. That'll mess you up.
Yeah, there's some horrible ones. I mean, for me, it's when Helen falls down Lydia's staircase and Sliding Doors. It's just, it's just absolutely horrendous. It always resonates with me, that does.
And the very final question. What Sliding Doors? No. Tim Johnson. He's just watched Commando, and he says it's the best classic action movie he's seen. What would be your best action, no sci-fi or fantasy allowed, just a present-day, all-out action film?
What, the best one of all time?
Yeah.
Probably Die Hard.
I totally agree. It's Die Hard. Yeah. Or...
Well, it's Die Hard. It's,
or...
No. There's not enough action in Sliding Doors.
I wouldn't go that far, but Die Hard probably Die Hard's probably a notch above Sliding Doors.
Just a tad, yeah.
Yeah, so Die Hard.
I'm a big fan of Platoon.
Yeah.
I think in terms of action for that is absolutely amazing. I'll even say Predator as well. Mm-hmm. The action levels on that
bit
are
sci-fi.
Just...
bit sci-fi. Love.
Oh, bollocks, yeah, sorry. Platoon.
I mean, it might not be, you might know something we don't.
Yeah. Sorry, Platoon.
No, there are real Predators in the world. Jimmy Savile.
Well, yeah, me and Maxima.
Yeah, Maxima Culpa, the documentary about the child sexual abuse in the Catholic Church.
Kind of deal.
Oh, there's one
subject.
Extra question. Can you give me some documentaries on child abuse? Any good ones? Don't know any. Keep your questions coming. Best place to go is skiptotheend.co.uk, because on there you can get our Twitter, our Instagram, our email address and our Facebook. Go on there, fire us some questions, and in 2 weeks' time we'll answer them all again.
And that brings us to the end of another episode of the Skip to the End podcast. There's been tears, there's been laughter, mainly aimed towards the early film work of Gwyneth Paltrow and child sexual abuse. Gemma, have you enjoyed yourself?
Of course, it's been brilliant.
Will you come again?
Of course.
Oh, that's good to know.
I don't think we should be talking about the early work of Gwyneth Paltrow and child sexual abuse in the same sentence, should we?
I don't know which I prefer.
So, Gemma...
Yes.
This is your fourth time.
It is, yeah.
I believe that when you came on the show last time, you got some boxer shorts from Tommy Wiseau.
I did.
Now, you got a stamp card here that we talk about that famously gets each stamp.
Mm-hmm.
So this is your fourth,
yes.
Very close to the big five. You should be awarded, I think.
Oh, thank you.
So as it's your fourth time, we've got you a little present, okay?
Oh my gosh, okay.
A Skip to the End Kiri. These are
lucky
the tits. Now, these guys are in the podcast and don't get these.
This is true. Where's mine?
This is true.
Wow. Yeah.
But I don't think it'd be very nice not to give them out to the people that actually do the podcast.
Oh,
there you are.
Cheers,
this
dude.
Is a sweet moment. Wow.
And
this is one.
Put that on
for Adam.
Keys.
There you go.
Wonderful stuff.
Because, you know, the podcasts themselves need to promote it.
But there you
go.
Nice.
This will go right next to my Lego Star-Lord.
Excellent.
Nice. And I think if I'm at work or out and about and anyone sees this on my keys and says, what's that, I'll say... Well, it's only the number 13 podcast in the whole of the UK, according to the iTunes chart. So.
Yes!
We're coming for your top 10.
Yeah.
I loved a tweet this week, by the way. We're on a streak at the moment. I think we're on number... I think this is our 10th episode we've released this year, and it's got to number one. And I'm joking, like, oh, the streak is going. And someone said, well, Brock Lesnar's going to release a podcast and break your streak in a few weeks. So I thought that was really good. But don't release a podcast, Brock. Stick to farming and let us get to sort of 20, 25.
I don't think he ever would. He seems to hate people.
Yeah. Generally so, yeah. So we've got a big episode coming next. And they're always big episodes these days, aren't they? In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be reviewing Turtles 2. Which I'm tremendously excited about, not just because of the film, which actually does look quite a bit of fun, doesn't it? The trailers
look
quite interesting. It's more for the fact that it's a demonstration of how long we've been doing this. Because one of our previous reviews was the first Turtles film. So the fact that now we are at the point where we've been doing this podcast so long, we're reviewing sequels of films we've already reviewed, shows that we've been doing this too long, maybe.
It's not on about the original Turtles.
No. So it's not Secret of the Ooze or whatever.
Aside from kind of like the... Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm. And is this the first
this is the
done?
Aside from the Marvel ones and aside from Sharknado, this is the first one where we've been to see the first film of a series and now 18 months later we're going to review the sequel.
That's amazing.
That's pretty impressive.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
That is good. I think we'll do it for Guardians 2 as well. Because that was our very first episode.
Do you want to do Guardians 2?
See what else is out.
Not bothered.
None of us are really keen on the film.
It was no Deadpool.
Christ. Adam, what's the top three we're going to be doing?
We're going to be doing our top three game changer films. So films that kind of change the industry for good or bad.
Change the game so that the game can never be played the same.
Jesus, social media are going to be... You can't. Yeah. Geez, there's going to be anything and everything. They'll have to justify it as well.
Yeah. That's it. As long as you can justify your decision, it's all fair game.
And you said we could do a shot or filming or anything?
Literally, a new camera technique, wow. A new editing set, whatever you want. If it changed the game, if that's the way that film now is because of that,
wow,
you can justify it.
Yeah,
I can see all our brains going.
It's going to take a lot of thought, a lot more than top three robots, which took me about 14 seconds. And Mark, what's our rewatch?
The Princess Bride, which will be a first for us all.
Yes.
And I can hear people already on social media going, yes!
And quoting it to us, despite having seen it yet.
Yeah,
yeah, don't put any like GIF files either on our Twitter for this, because I don't want it ruined. Yeah. I want to look forward to this.
G- Gemma, do you want to tell the people what year we're skipping back
to? Yeah, 1983.
1983, the year of my illustrious birth. You lucky, lucky people when I came into the world. And yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot more besides. We've got a cool prize to give away. We're going to give away some Boss-related merchandise, aren't we?
Yep. Yeah.
And then we've got a mug to give away.
I thought
well.
Like using the Liverpool term, like, it's Boss, mate.
Boss, lads. I like laughs.
And we can't forget the new game show that we definitely have thought
about. That we've definitely thought through all the rules, all the legality of it. It's ready to go.
Gemma, what did you think of the when we just did the dry run for the new game show? What did you think?
Oh, God. You guys are in for a treat, seriously. It's like you thought the Imitation Game, you thought Raging Bull was good. Forget about
this
it.
Is the one.
And that's not our game show, that's the film. Yeah. You thought those films were good.
Wait for this.
Wait for this.
You realise we've now got to come up with something quite good because we've set ourselves up for a fall.
I was just going to bring back Raging Bulls, aren't I?
Yeah. I'll
do it. Jim only did a 3-episode deal. He's not coming back.
Well, who did they get to do it when they brought Bullseye back years ago?
Didn't they get Dave Spikey to do it?
Dave Spikey.
We'll get Dave.
He'll be up for it.
Not doing much, is he? Oh, let's call it a day. See you in 2 weeks.